ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट 22nd चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड अटेनिंग द सुप्रीम। पुरुष स परपार्थ भक्त्या लभ्यस्तु नन्या, यस्यांतस्थानि भूतानि येन सर्वम् इदं ततम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. Although He is present in His abode, He is all-pervading, and everything is situated within Him. Purport: It is here clearly stated that the supreme destination from which there is no return is the abode of Krishna, the Supreme Person. The Brahma Samhita describes this abode, supreme abode, as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, a place where everything is full of spiritual bliss. All the variegatedness manifest there is of the quality of spiritual bliss. Nothing there is material. That variegatedness is expanded as the spiritual expansion of the Supreme Godhead Himself. For the manifestation there is totally of the spiritual energy, as explained in chapter 7. As far as this material world is concerned, although the Lord is always in His supreme abode, He is nonetheless all-pervading by His material energy. So, by His spiritual and material energies, He is present everywhere, both in the material and in the spiritual universes. Yasyantasthani means that everything is sustained within Him, within either His spiritual or material energies. The Lord is all-pervading by these two energies. So, this is a big purport, but we'll read the next later on. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरोन्मिलिताम् येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. Although He is present in His abode, He is all-pervading, and everything is situated within Him. So now we are reading chapter 8, Attaining the Supreme. So it talks about the goal of life as attaining the Supreme. Purusha sa para partha. Purusha. The Supreme Personality. So it's very natural for us in this world to be enamored by or to be attracted by something very powerful, something very beautiful, someone very wealthy, lot of wealth, power, opulence, fame, very natural, right? We see people are very attracted by the stars in sport industry, or in the film industry, so many stars are there, so they attract. So, there are so many. So, Purusha sa para partha, Purusha. So, the Supreme Personality. So, now Gita is focusing our attention on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People are very much attracted or charmed by so many personalities of the modern age because they have some special attribute, some specific attribute. But here is Krishna, who is the supreme possessor of all the attributes. Bhagavan, it says, this word Bhagavan which we use, Bhagavan Uvacha. Bhagavan means what? So Parashar Muni explains that Bhagavan means one who possesses Bhagyavan, who possesses all the opulences. So one who possesses all the opulences is full. Krishna is one who is possessing of all the six opulences. What are the six opulences? All beauty, full knowledge, complete wealth, complete power, strength in full. There is nobody who is more powerful than him. There is nobody who is more wealthy, more beautiful, or more knowledgeable, or fame, or renunciation. So he is full in these opulences. So he is greater than all. Supreme Personality is greater than all. He is attained by unalloyed devotion. So how to attain that personality? When we get enamored by somebody very big, somebody having special attributes, we make him our hero or role model, whom we want to achieve. We want to take his association. We want to go close to him. But the point is, who is the Supreme Personality? So this is, Gita is indicating or showing us that goal. Purusha sa paraha partha. Para means the Supreme Personality. So if you want to, so the only hero or the only supreme charming personality is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. So it says in the purport that the supreme destination from which there is no return is the abode of Krishna. Brahma Samhita describes that abode as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, a place where everything is full of spiritual bliss. All the variegatedness manifest there is of the quality of spiritual bliss. Nothing there is material. That variegatedness is expanded as a spiritual expansion of the Supreme Godhead Himself. As far as in this material world, although the Lord is there in His supreme abode, He is nonetheless all-pervading by His material energy. So by His spiritual and material energy, He is present everywhere, both in the material and in the spiritual universes. Yasyantasthani bhutani. Everything is sustained within Him, within either His spiritual or material energy. Right? So it is said the Supreme Personality of Godhead has many expansions. He has many incarnations, many manifestations. And one of His manifestations is this material universe. But this manifestation is like the manifestation in a dream. Right? Just like a person who dreams. So when he dreams, he creates so many bodies in the dream. Isn't it? So when he creates so many bodies in the dream, somebody may think in the dream he is some other species. Or he may think that he is being attacked by a tiger. Or he may seem to be fighting with someone. So in the dream, so many manifestations take place. And these manifestations affect him. Isn't it? These manifestations affect him. He gets affected. Sometimes suddenly you get up in the dream. Like sometimes when we see young children when they are sleeping at home. Suddenly in the middle of the evening they start shouting or kicking. Or suddenly, I know one boy, he, in the middle of the night, he woke up from his dream. And he's still sleeping but he's awake. His eyes are closed but he's walking. So he went out, he opened the door of his house, and then he opened and he walked out. His parents are still sleeping and he's walking. So, but he's walking in a dream. But he's walked out of the house. Can you imagine it can happen? He walked out of the house, but he's walking in a dream. And he went out. He opened the inside door, the outside door, went out on the road, went far, far away. And went on the road, went to the bus stop. Sat there and started crying. So after some time, parents woke up. Oh, child is not there. What happened? Where is he? Where is the child gone? And then they saw the door is open, the main door is open, everything is open. So they are all running out. Where is our child gone? Middle of night, 1 o'clock. Nobody is there. It's all dark. Only the chowkidar is there. He has not seen the sun. Where is he gone? So they are running. Father is going in this direction. Mother is going in this direction. Finally, they go to the bus stop. They see child is sitting there and crying because he has lost his parents. So such things also happen in dream. Dream, many things can happen. I don't know if somebody has experienced that dream. So what happens in dream? Sometimes things happen which is not reality. You experience something which is not reality, but that dream affects you. The dream affects you. Your body gets affected. Sometimes you start shouting. Sometimes your heart starts beating fast. Sometimes you start sweating. So it affects you. The body gets affected. So on one side, it is not a reality. It is an illusion. It is not a reality. Sapno ki duniya. It's not a reality. It is an illusion. But it affects us. We get scared. But Krishna also has a dream. This whole world is Krishna's dream. Krishna has many, many manifestations. Krishna comes as so many avatars. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishan. Lord Ram, Lord Narsingadev, Lord Vamandev, Lord Varhadev. So many avatars he come. So many manifestations take place. But one of the manifestations which Supreme Lord takes is, he manifests one of his energies as this material universe. Just like a dream is illusion. Similarly, Krishna has created this material energy, but this is temporary. This world is temporary. This world is temporary to fulfill certain desire. Right? Just like somebody is doing some birthday ceremony or marriage ceremony or some big party in front of his house. Now we have Ganesh festival coming. Or Navratri will be there. So this festival, outside the house, they make a big pandal. They don't make a building, they make a pandal. Something very temporary. Right? So as soon as the festival is over, the purpose is over, they wind up the pandal and take it back. They wind up. Then it again becomes the open sky and garden. Similarly, this material world is created for a specific purpose. Just like a human being in his dream creates some bodies, we dream and have some bodies. Lord Krishna also creates a temporary manifestation, this material world. Just like things which happen in dream are not of any importance, similarly this material world is not of any importance. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki, Jai Shri Gopal ji ki, Jai Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra Bhagavan ki. So just like something happens in the dream, we do not take it of any value. It is not of something to be given importance. Similarly, from Lord Krishna's point of view, this whole material world is like a dream. One should not give much value to this. So, then what should one do? What should one focus on? Purushasah parapartha. Do not take any interest in the purushas of this world. This is all illusion. So, Purushasa Parapartha, there is one person in whom you should take interest. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So, Purushasa Parapartha Bhaktya Labhyastu Ananya. Okay, if Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, how do we achieve Him? How do we achieve the shelter of Krishna if Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead? Bhaktya labhyastu ananya, undeviating, unalloyed devotional service. If you want to achieve something, you give all your energies to achieve that. Right? So we see this place is like a dream which has no reality. So what is real? It is mentioned. The supreme abode. Brahma Samhita says, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, a place where everything is full of spiritual bliss. So how does one attain that? Bhaktya labhyastu ananya, by bhakti. What is the meaning of unalloyed bhakti? Unalloyed bhakti means not to keep anything with one's own self. If you want to achieve, bhakti means complete surrender. putting all your energies to gain something. Whatever you have, that is unalloyed bhakti. Not keeping anything for oneself. So shastras explain, what do we have? Maybe we have some possessions, some property. We have this body. We have the senses. We have mind. We have intelligence. So he says, to enter Krishna's abode is possible only by bhakti, devotional service, as clearly indicated by the word bhaktya. No other process can help attain that supreme abode. Vedas also describe the supreme abode and the supreme personality of Godhead. In that abode, there is only one supreme personality of Godhead whose name is Krishna. He is the supreme merciful deity. And although situated there as one, he has expanded into millions and millions of expansions. The Vedas compare the Lord to a tree standing, still yet bearing many varieties of fruits, flowers and changing leaves. The planetary expansions of the Lord who preside our Vaikuntha planets are four-armed and they are known by variety of names. Purushottam, Trivikram, Keshava, Madhava, Aniruddha, Rishikesh, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Sridhar, Vasudeva, Damodar, Janardhan, Narayana, Vamana and Padmanabha. The Brahma Samhita also confirms that although the Lord is always in the supreme abode Golok Vrindavan, He is all-pervading. So everything is going on nicely. So the point is, to enter Krishna's abode is possible only by bhakti or devotional service. So it is described, how does one attain this planet of the Supreme Lord? So putting one's senses, mind and intelligence in the service of Krishna. It is described, yogis, what do? They go to the forest and start meditating. They use their mind. Now let's see how one uses his mind, senses and intelligence. Yogis uses their mind to attract Krishna. How they attract Krishna? It is described, the yogis meditate in their heart on the supreme form of Lord Krishna, who is sitting as Paramatma in the heart. So they meditate on the supreme form of the Lord. The third canto Bhagavad describes that Supreme Lord is sitting in the heart as Paramatma, so these yogis meditate on the form of the Lord. How? By focusing their mind. So senses, mind and intelligence are engaged in so many different ways. Yogis focus their mind. How do they focus their mind? It is described that they focus their mind on the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yogis, they meditate for a long, long time on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. On the lotus feet of the Lord. Because it is described that lotus feet of the Lord, the form of the Lord, as we see, the form of the Lord is there on the altar. So the form of the Lord, the lotus feet, have the power to kick off or shatter the mountain of sins accumulated in the heart of a yogi. So if somebody has done a lot of sinful reactions are accumulated, mountains of sins, these lotus feet has the power to kick off or shatter that mountain. So yogis, by the power of mind, they focus on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then what else do they focus? These yogis also focus on the beautiful toenails, on the nails of the Lord. It is described the form of the Lord, the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Beautiful Personality of Godhead. His toenails are very shining, very effulgent. Very effulgent. So these, like the orbit of the moon, very effulgent. It's like moon at night, a full moon, very effulgent. So these nails are very effulgent. And when one meditates on the nails of the Lord, what happens? Yogi, by meditating on the nails of the Lord, he dispels the thick gloom of ignorance on the heart, darkness on the heart. So everybody is covered by darkness or ignorance, right? In material world, everybody is covered kind of darkness or so many misfortunes or depressions. A gloom is there in the heart by which they are not able to experience the spiritual bliss of Krishna consciousness. So, by meditating on the toenails, they dispel that gloom of darkness. Then, yogis go further. They meditate on the beautiful chest of the Lord. It is described by meditating on the beautiful chest of the Lord, the all-powerful Supreme Lord, it gives great satisfaction to their mind and great pleasure to their eyes. So they meditate for a long time at the beautiful chest of the Lord. Then they meditate on the beautiful neck of the Lord, which is beautifying the Kastubha Jal. So it is described, people wear so many ornaments to decorate their bodies. But when Lord wears the ornaments, these ornaments get beautified or decorated. So the yogis meditate on the beautiful neck of the Lord, wearing Kastubha gem. Then, yogis further meditate on the beautiful arms of the Lord. How do they meditate? They meditate. So Lord has four arms in the Paramatma Roops, four-handed form. So in each of the arms, there are beautiful weapons. So powerful arms. By meditating on the powerful arms of the Lord, they become fearless. They dispel all the fear which is haunting them. And then they meditate on the beautiful weapons which the Lord is holding. They meditate on the club. Which you say, Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma. So on the Gada or the club which the Lord is holding. So they see how the club of the Lord is smeared with the blood of all the demons. So they meditate on the club of the Lord. Then they also meditate on the lotus, on the conch shell. Conch shell, which the Lord is holding in one of his hands, it is like a beautiful swan who is, conch shell is white and generally a swan plays in the lotus flower. So they are meditating on conch shell, which appears to be like playing in the lotus-like hand of the Lord. Then they meditate on the chakra or the Sudarshan chakra which the Lord is holding. The all-powerful Sudarshan chakra, whose specific function is to render protection to the devotees. Then the yogis go further and engage their mind fully without any deviation. They engage their mind in focusing on the beautiful smile of the Lord. It is said that somebody who focuses on the smile of the Lord for a long time, this smile has the power to dispel the ocean of tears in your heart. So people sometimes they can express their tears, sometimes they can't express their tears. So many people, it is described in Bhagavad Gita, another 16th chapter. Aneka chitta vibhranta moha jala. People are filled with so much anxieties. And the person they see next to them, these are the full of anxieties. Everybody is full of anxieties. So sometimes they also feel that even if I want to cry, in front of whom I should cry? Everybody is crying. If I want to go and cry in front of someone, that person starts crying in front of me. So with whom to share your problems? So it says, he meditates on the beautiful smile of the Lord. Because by meditating long time on the beautiful smile of the Lord, by having that relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ocean of tears in your life gets dried up and you experience spiritual bliss. Then the yogi goes further and he meditates on the lotus face of the Lord. Lotus face of the Lord is surrounded by beautiful curly hairs. So it appears just like a lotus flower is in the middle of the lake and the lotus flower is surrounded by the swarming bees. So many bees are there who are trying to get the nectar out of the lotus. So all these curly hairs appear to be like bees surrounding the lotus face of the Lord. So they meditate on the lotus face of the Lord, where he gives great pleasure to them. And then they meditate on the glance of the Lord, on the beautiful eyes of the Lord, which looks like two beautiful fishes playing in the water. Two beautiful fishes, his eyes of the Lord. And when he meditates on the glance of the Lord, by the power of the Lord's glance, what happens? All the threefold miseries which are haunting, all the sinful relations which are haunting a person, which are disturbing to heart to a person, they get destroyed. So he is freed from the agony of the three modes of material nature, just by the glance of the Lord. So like that, yogi, when a person is engaged in this material world and it is so difficult to practice bhakti, there are so many ways described in Bhagavatam by how he engages his senses, mind, intelligence, his all his desires in the service of the Lord. So purushasa parapartha bhaktya labhyastu ananya. Bhaktya means dovetailing your mind, senses, intelligence completely in the service of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita says in the second chapter, Indriyanam hi charatam yan manuvanu vidyate. What is it? Indriyanam hi charatam. Even one of the senses left unengaged. Even one of the senses left unengaged. One of the roaming senses has the power to steal away the mind of a man of discrimination. Indriyanam vicharatam yan manonavid. Even one of the roaming senses on which a mind focuses can steal away a man's intelligence. So therefore senses. So one focuses his mind and one also focuses his senses. So it is described that one dovetails his senses, mind and intelligence in the service of the Lord. So that is bhaktya labhyastu ananya, undeviating, unalloyed bhakti. He tries to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So thus, when he focuses on the Lord, he puts all his energy, all his intelligence, then by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, by the special glance of the Supreme Lord, then he can attain that abode, as it is mentioned. Purusha parapartha, purusha sa parapartha, bhaktya labhyastu ananya, he attains by unalloyed devotion. When he gets the glance of the Lord, then all the thick gloom of material miseries is destroyed. And then he can experience that transcendental spiritual bliss. So therefore, this 8th chapter is describing in different ways that how attaining the Supreme or the attaining Krishna's supreme abode is the goal of life. How one gradually focuses his intelligence, understanding that there is no supreme goal other than the supreme abode of Sri Krishna, Golok Vrindavan. Other than that, there is no other supreme or the Vaikuntha planets, spiritual abode. There is no other supreme. So it also describes, compare the spiritual abode to the material abodes. So many heavenly planets are there and spiritual planets. So it compares. So people are also attracted in going to heavenly planets. They are very attracted. They want to enjoy the heavenly pleasures. But that is also explained in 8th chapter, in the 17th, 8th, 16th verses. It says that, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. From Brahma Loka to topmost to down planet, all the planets are places of misery. Are places of misery. So what is the point of making Brahma Loka as the planet, as the goal, or any of the heavenly planets as the goal? These are all places of birth, old age, disease and death. So the only goal is Purusha Sa Parapartha Bhaktya Labhyastu Ananya. So this yogi and so many different processes are given, but in this modern age of Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this simple process, Bhaktya, how to cultivate this bhakti or this love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How to develop attraction, how to understand Krishna. It says, Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar, that in Kali Yuga, Supreme Personality of Krishna has come in the form of His holy name. In the form of His holy name. Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatiranyata. So we cannot sit like yogis and meditate. It is very difficult. How can we sit somewhere like yogis? So busy schedule, everybody is so busy in this Kali Yuga just to satisfy his needs. So therefore, this process is given. Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam Eva Kevalam. So wherever you are, so just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So chant Hare Krishna and meditate on the beautiful form of the Lord. So we come to temple, we also have the beautiful darshan of the Lord to meditate on, to focus on. And then we have this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we can chant Hare Krishna. Very simple. Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam Eva Kevalam. Kalau Nasteva Nasteva. There is no other way, no other way, no other way. So Hare Krishna Mahamantra, if somebody chants Hare Krishna Mahamantra with great attention, it is said, Eta Nirvidyamananam. It says that if somebody wants success, this chanting of the holy name is the doubtless and fearless path. Is the doubtless and fearless path for success for all. Whoever you are, whatever your desire, you're full of material desires, you're free from material desires, you're already self-satisfied. But the only way to success is if this attentive chanting and hearing of this holy name is the doubtless and fearless path of success for all. Etat nirvidyamananam. Hare namanu kirtanam. So this is the doubtless and fearless path. That somebody has no desire, somebody is full of desire. If one with faith takes shelter of this holy name. It is said human life is very short, very short. Time is very, very less time we have. Imperceptibly time is just passing and taking away day after day from us. It is just like a miser, a person who is very conjuice. Conjuice, what is his main anxiety? How much money he has. So he very carefully, he collects money. As much money he collects. And then he keeps counting money. The whole day passes in, okay, today I got so much money, today I counted so much money, and always thinking about money, money and money. So a miser's mentality is, he's always thinking about money because he knows that this money is the most important thing in my life. And he doesn't even know how to spend. He just keeps collecting, collecting, collecting and collecting in his box. Similarly, a devotee is very conjuice in the sense that how he spends his time. He is very conjuice in terms of time. Miser. How? He is very careful because he knows that Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam Eva Kevalam. Just like a yogi, he goes away to the forest and closes his eyes and meditates on the form of the Lord. Very careful, very attentive. Similarly, a living entity in this, who is in Mahaprabhu's mercy, what does he understand? That this human life is very, very imperceptibly time is snatching away all the important moments from my life. So like a miser, he collects the holy name more and more and more. He chants more and more and more. He collects the holy name. He counts the holy name every day. Very carefully he counts the holy name. Very attentively. He chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So very carefully he chants, he collects, and thus he remembers how much holy name he has in stock, how much he has chanted. He always focuses on this. Just like a miser, his attention is always about the money. How much I have collected, and he keeps counting and he puts in the this thing. Then he again takes it out and he again counts. Similarly, a devotee understanding like a miser that bhaktya labhyastu ananya, that is the only way. The only way to express bhakti in the modern age is chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So very carefully he collects, very carefully he counts, and very carefully he remembers the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So finally, to summarize, three main points we discussed. That how material world is just like one of the many manifestations of the Lord. Just like in dream, we manifest so many bodies. Sometimes we give the example of a young child who go out. Similarly, in dream, we have so many manifest. Supreme Lord also, this is one of his manifestations. But this is just like in dream, things we don't take it of much interest. Similarly, material world is like one of the manifestations which is very temporary, like a dream. Just like on Ganpati festival, you make a pandal, but you wind up later on. Similarly, this material world is very temporary. One should not take much interest in the charms and beauties and the wealth and the powers of this material world. That is illusion. Similarly, material world, so therefore, Supreme Lord is turning our attention to Purusha Sa Parapartha. He is the Supreme Purusha. And then we understand the second point is, bhakti is the only way to achieve. Bhakti means fully devoting one's mind, senses and intelligence in the service of Supreme God. And we took the example of a yogi from third canto, that how he gives up all his family, goes into the forest and very, very carefully meditates on the lotus feet of the Lord, on the nails of the Lord, on the thighs of the Lord, on the nails of the Lord, on the navel of the Lord, on the chest of the Lord, on all the arms of the Lord, on the beautiful smile of the Lord which can dry away the ocean of tears, on the beautiful eyes of the Lord, on the beautiful face of the Lord, on the glance of the Lord which can remove all the miseries. So very carefully he attends to these meditations. And the third point we discussed, so in modern age, if one has to practice bhakti, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this very simple process. Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna has taken and expanded in the form of the incarnation of holy name. So by chanting of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, so Krishna has come in the form of this holy name. So we understand, just like a miser understands this money is very important and he keeps very carefully, counts each and every penny. Similarly, time is very precious. So a human very carefully in his life every day takes to this attentive chanting of the holy name. Carefully counts, carefully collects more and more holy names, and then carefully remembers the holy name of Krishna. And thus, by the process of unalloyed bhakti, giving up all his time trying to develop taste for chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, bhaktya labhyastu ananya, he attains the shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead Shri Krishna. Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrind ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Kaliyug Hare Naam Shri Sankirtan Movement ki jai.